Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your wages are being garnished. We can stop that now. It's hard enough to pay your bills when things are good, let alone when a big chunk of your take-home pay is gone before you even get your check. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne, and I can stop the garnishment and get the creditors off your back immediately, often the same day as our consultation. Both Chapter 7 and 13 provide bankruptcy relief, but choosing the right chapter is crucial. In a free consultation, we can create a plan to get your finances back under your control. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Live Day is back. Yes, our show in the men's room completely live. Thursday, November 21st at the Snoqualmie Casino. Live Day, if you haven't seen it, you haven't been a part of it, man, it is the ultimate radio high wire act, man.
All the commercials will be performed live. The sound effects, which is always fun. Our buddy Craig Gass is flying in. It's become a tradition for Live Day.
Yeah.
And you just never know what kind of insanity he will bring. And plus, just we have a bunch of other cool special guests, like Joel Strasser is going to break or attempt to break another Guinness Book of World Records when it comes to putting things in his beard.
Yeah.
He already has the record for the most toothpicks in his beard. And throughout Live Day, he'll attempt to put something in his beard, and it's going to be awesome.
This is the ultimate spectacle you want to see, because who does this? We do this. Why? Yeah. God knows.
But just because we can.
What could possibly go wrong? You, being the live audience, you get to see it as it's happening. Tickets are on sale right now as I'm speaking. Live Day, baby. Snoqualmie Casino, Thursday, November 21st. Our show and the men's room completely live. You want more info? You want those tickets? Go to KISW.com.
Let's play B-Migs.
Pump it up for Monday! Yeah, I'm going to need it, man.
You're going to need it.
I'm going to need it. It was a tough game yesterday, man.
Ah, yeah. Watching other people play sports is very, very tiring.
Okay.
The nerves get to you, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, come on. You watch people game on Twitch and competitively, and you get nervous when you see your buddies doing well or not doing well, don't you?
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. All right.
See, I try to bring it back.
I'm with you, man. It drained the hell out of me for the rest of the day.
It really did.
Well, Steve, I would imagine you being drained because you performed on Saturday.
Well, yeah,
concert. You do all these things over the weekend.
Had a couple late nights, but I mean, I got my rest in for the Hawks game. And then watch that.
All right, then. Well, get pumped up because you got to play a game right now.
Yeah, you do.
And we've got Jeremiah and Elma to take you on. Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. What's he playing for today, Steve?
Well, he's playing for tickets to check out The Glorious Sons, the greatest band ever.
Nice.
And their live performance is fantastic. They're going to be over at the Showbox on February 19th. Go to KISW.com for all the details. You want to see The Glorious Sons, get your tickets now at AXS.com.
All right, Steve, get out of here. For those playing at home, Jeremiah will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Jeremiah, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Hell yeah!
Nice. What actress played the title character in the 90s movie There's Something About Mary?
Oh, damn it. Pass.
What is the main color of a Butterfinger wrapper?
Yellow.
Yes. The most common phobia around the world is of what creature?
Spiders, arachnophobia.
Spiders, yes. Flint, Lansing, and Kalamazoo are all cities in what state?
Michigan.
Yes. What year of the late 2010s did filmmaker George A. Romero pass away?
Jesus. 28,
no.
29,
no.
27.
No. The headquarters of Burger King is located in what city in Florida?
Miami.
Yes. On what cable network did the show Catfish first air?
MTV.
Yes. What year of the 90s did the first Scream movie come out?
96.
Yes. Claude Monet was an impressionist painter from which country?
Spain.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 correct.
All right, we'll see how that goes.
Yep. Kind of right down the middle there, a little bit better than average.
We'll see if Steve gets Claude Monet. We'll see if he's cultured.
Yeah, maybe if I can say the word.
You can. You almost did.
I almost did and then had to go back and redo it. So,
yeah. You're a professional.
Mostly, but I appreciate you saying that. Steve, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
What actress played the title character in the 90s movie There's Something About Mary?
Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Almost forgot it.
What is the main color of a Butterfinger wrapper?
Yellow.
Yes.
Yellow.
The
Yellow.
Most common phobia around the world is of what creature?
Spiders.
Yes. Flint, Lansing, and Kalamazoo.
Michigan. Or,
yes. Nice. What year of the late 2010s did the filmmaker George A. Romero pass away?
2017.
Yes. The headquarters of Burger King is located in what city in Florida?
Ooh, I'm going to go Orlando.
No.
Miami.
Yes. Nice. On what cable network did the show Catfish first air?
The King would live in Miami. MTV.
Yes. What year of the 90s did the first Scream movie come out?
92.
No.
91.
No.
93.
No.
Damn it.
Claude Monet was an impressionist painter who was from which country?
I'm going to go France.
Yes. Adam Silver is the commissioner of which pro sports league?
NBA.
Yes, and Steve, you win! And I gotta do it backwards here because you won 6-9!
Yeah,
9! Sorry, Jeremiah.
Yeah. He left, he knew.
Yeah,
he gave up.
Well, when you know that you've lost, it's better to, don't rack up those cell phone charges.
Just walk.
Just walk.
Just leave.
Just go.
Don't even peace out. Don't even do the ceremonial handshake. I get it. Classless.
Oh,
wow.
Poor sportsmanship.
Not as classless as Yankee fans, but close.
Right. It wasn't like you threw a can of alcohol at me while I was urinating.
This is true. This is very true. The only one that you did miss, what year of the 90s did the first Scream movie come out? Jeremiah did get that one correct. It was 1996.
Oh.
And wow. Still holds up. That and Scream 2, because I watched those over at Danny's house when we were carving pumpkins on Friday.
And it still holds up?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, both of them. Scream 1 and Scream 2 are great. Scream 3, whatever. And I've never seen Scream 4.
See, I always get them confused with Not Another Scary Movie. And I assume that the Scream movies are just like these parody films, but they're not.
No. Right. They have
comedic moments.
Yeah.
Right?
In their 90s, so it's kind of the Gen X sort of like, these movies are so dumb. These right. tropes are so overdone. And then people go into all of these tropes and usually get murdered. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I love them. I love them a lot. Congratulations, Steve. You won with 9 correct.
That means call number 9. That's what you're doing, man. You're checking out the Glorious Sons at the Showbox, one of Steve's favorite bands, and you're going call number 9.
I'll be there.
206-421-ROCK. Caller number 9. Congratulations. Hey, I'll tell you right now, Steve.
What's up?
We are going to have to talk Hawks. I hate to do it, but we're going to have to do it.
Go Hawks.
At least we're going to have somebody in studio that can tell us what the hell happened. And of course, I'll come up with my own theories, which will all be wrong.
Russ is getting banged. You know, he's a stud about that.
Okay, we know that happened.
That was the problem.
Yeah, that was the problem. Ciara needs to not bother him on game day, is all I'm saying. Yeah, they had a tough loss yesterday. We're going to chat with Mitch Levy. Mitch is back in the morning. We'll get his take on the game at 7:17. On the Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
BJ, it's always good to see our next guest, but I'm not happy what we have to talk about.
I guess I'm not such good luck anymore.
No, you're not.
You don't want me
charm.
In here now.
No, I like having you here still.
I feel like I can
Mitch Levy, everybody.
You guys stand.
Well, now I'm going to sit. See, he'll show you.
Should I stand?
Yeah.
I don't think you should stand for this.
Are you shaking hands? Is preseason over? What's going on?
Well, you know what? Look, man, this is, we talked last week. By the way, don't forget Mitch Unfiltered, the new podcast 62. Dropped today.
62.
Number 62.
Number 62.
That was a great year.
Yeah. Yeah, 1962.
That's what it was.
1962. How are you guys feeling?
I knew this was, if you remember, I was concerned. Out of the three games, the last three games, and of course we have the Falcons. So the three games I was worried about, the Browns, these guys, and the Falcons, I thought these guys would be the one we'd lose.
Okay, so analyze the game for me. Why did
Mr. Jackson is really good, dude. I mean, take a look at how many balls were dropped by his own teammates. So that guy, and how many times he slipped on the wet grass. I think it could have been a lot worse if it was a regular game, if you ask me, if there was no weather.
He's not only good, I think the better way to describe him is he's unique.
Yeah.
You don't see anything like him. In fact, I contend, I mean, there's been some running quarterbacks, and we have more and more running quarterbacks as we go along. The Kyler Murrays, and you saw Colin Kaepernick, and Cam Newton can run, and Michael Vick may have been the greatest running quarterback, the most elusive running quarterback. I contend, and it's the reason why I'm ready for your listeners and for you guys to kind of dismiss yesterday, in a way. I'm ready to dismiss yesterday. What the Seahawks ran into yesterday is something they've never seen before, and they're not going to see again this year or any until they see him 4 years from however many years they play the Baltimore Ravens. He's a totally unique character.
Unless we happen to meet each other in the playoffs.
So that would be the Super Bowl. It would only be the Super Bowl. So would you take that? Would you sign up for that right now to play them in the Super Bowl?
Yes. I
heard you guys talking when I first got in the car this morning about the 49ers Washington
Puddle Bowl.
Yeah, it's actually a good example. Every once in a while, this is my belief, and maybe people disagree. Every once in a while in football, more than baseball and basketball, you run into a game or a set of circumstances that's just weird. It's different. It's unique, and you just discount. Is anybody going to take that 49er Redskins game and draw conclusions?
No.
Different from what they had about either the 49ers or the Redskins game when they play a game like that. You totally discount it, right?
No, I kept hoping actually that would be a win for the Redskins. This is the only chance they would have to win.
Of course, the consequences of either winning or losing always exist, and we can talk about that with the Seahawks. They've lost their second game. They're losing touch a little bit with San Francisco. Now they're two games in the loss column behind. All that still exists. I'm just here to suggest to you that the reason the Seahawks... The Seahawks-Ravens game was kind of like, for me, the Niners-Redskins game. Not because of the rain, but because it was a totally unique set of circumstances. Why did they lose the game? Well, there's two big reasons why they lost the game. And you don't really concern yourself moving forward with either one of those two reasons. Number one, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He is, simply put, the greatest running quarterback we've ever seen. He's completely different. He is a running back. He's one of the best five or six running backs in the NFL playing the quarterback position. Think about how difficult it is to prepare for something like that. When you're in the NFC, you see them once every 4 years. You never see that. There's no way to prepare, and you're not going to see that again. That was issue number one yesterday. And then issue number two was your quarterback, your MVP quarterback, had a bad day. Made some uncharacteristic throws. Are you worried about either? Which of those two things really should worry about? You should worry about going forward. I would say probably neither. Now, you know, there are issues with the Seahawks, but we've talked about those from week to week. I'm just here to suggest to you that to overanalyze and say, oh, the Seahawks, and to change your opinion about the Seahawks based on what happened in a weird game against a totally different quarterback that you just can't prepare for, I think is the wrong way to go about it. I think that they're 5-2, and that's two losses, and you need to beat Atlanta, and you need to try to stay with San Francisco before you play them on November 11th.
If they don't beat Atlanta, they're not the team we thought they were, because everybody's beating Atlanta at this point.
Funny you say that, because I saw it on Twitter, and I love that you brought that up just about not changing our opinion on them, because I was getting frustrated. I'm like, oh, I have to deal with a week of these knee-jerk fan reactions where I saw somebody post on Twitter, it's like, they are exactly what I thought they were, and they're not a good team. I'm like, it was one loss.
Well, it's not only one loss, it's a different loss. Now, I'm saying that I wouldn't change my opinion about the Seattle Seahawks based on yesterday.
No.
But what my I'm not sure that my opinion was that they were a 5-1. They were a great football team before we. I mean, we could talk about that all you want.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of people that would have looked at them at 5-1, and we're looking at them 5-1, saying, "Okay, come on, they're 5-1. They were really fortunate to win two or three of those games. They could very easily be 3-3. I mean, they're this close to 3-3. You want to have that opinion? That's fine. I'm just saying, don't generate an opinion based on yesterday. I think yesterday was just different and weird, and the opponent was weird, and the quarterback was weird, and
the quarterback,
you kind of throw that out.
Joey Deese just told me before we came in here, I didn't hear about this. He told me that the timeout was called by Jackson. He went over to the coach and said, we're not kicking the field goal, because they were ready to kick a field goal. He said Jackson went over and told Harbaugh, no, I'm running this in for a touchdown. And he argued so vehemently. Harbaugh goes, all right, fine. The fact that the coach would let the kid make that decision, and the fact that the kid is that smash mouth that he would just call his own timeout, go over there and go, I'm running this in for a touchdown, which I guess were his words.
Yeah.
And, you know, all he needed was just to get the first down, and he ran it in for a touchdown.
He did run it in for a touchdown.
You know, that was a difference maker. If we just could have settled for the field goal, you know,
of course.
Which our defense did their job. They stopped them.
Yeah.
Which they did a lot. I mean, the defense stopped them a lot when they were marching down the field. That should have been the third field goal.
BJ,
but
the defense gave up 6 points in the first half.
Yeah.
This was a team coming in Baltimore that was the number one scoring team in the NFL, and they were the number two yards per game team in the NFL. So think about that. They averaged about 31 points per game coming in, and they were averaging whatever the number was to be number 2 yards.
We lost to that kid. We really lost to that kid.
And at halftime, the Seahawks had done exactly what you just said and wanted to do, which was hold them to field goals. Two field goals.
Yeah.
They only had 5 first downs in the first half. Not only was your defense doing its job, bending but not breaking, but your offense was keeping them. They also were number one in the league by a landslide, Baltimore, in time of possession.
Yeah.
Going into the game, they averaged having 38 out of the 60 minutes. 38 of the 60 minutes, they would have the ball. In the first half, you reversed that. You added 18. The Seahawks added 18 in the first half, and the Ravens had it 12.
Yeah.
Okay? And you were 13-13. The only reason you were 13-13 was because your quarterback made an uncharacteristic, threw the ball right to Marcus Peters, and he ran in for a pick six. Otherwise, it's 13-6. Your defense did a fine, but a guy like him is good. You just can't hold him down the whole game.
No.
In terms of his legs, he's gonna get you at some point.
You saw that with that drive where they started basically on their own
5-yard line.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean,
that's
geez,
right. The
yeah,
third down play where it's 3rd and 8 or whatever,
yeah.
He takes off for 30. He's just a different cat. I mean, he's just a running back. He's a running back in a quarterback's body.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. That dude is just, and he's got that mentality. I mean, you know, I was so shocked to hear that he went to the coach and said no field goal. And I was shocked that the coach is like, okay. Because on a day like that, in a game like that, you take all the points you can get. You know, and with everybody slipping and falling and dropping balls, you're like, dude, if we don't get this, we're leaving 3 points off the board.
I think quarterbacks are wired to do exactly what he did, which is to fight to be able to go for it on fourth down. No quarterback wants to come off the field there. Now, your point about whether John Harbaugh would go with what the quarterback wanted is a good one. Typically, the coach makes the decision, so maybe he just convinced him. He said, "Coach, I've got this."
And blew a timeout to do it too.
Well, I don't know what was going on when they called the timeout. They could have been running low.
Well, that's what he said. He said that at least the story he heard was that the kid called the timeout because
wasn't on the field when they called the timeout. He couldn't have called the timeout.
Well,
kicker was on the field. When
they
called
the timeout. What he said. So he convinced
during
the coach.
During the timeout,
said, "Hey, let's call a timeout and talk about this."
Right on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's a story. Okay. At least he read. Yeah,
all right, that's fine.
Yeah,
and he came through.
Yeah,
but he just shows running back skills. He shows vision.
Yeah.
He shows patience. He runs the ball like a running back. He's not a quarterback that can run. He's a running back
who can throw.
A little bit. I'm not sure how much he can throw, but a little bit. So the Seahawks are 5-2, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and this was the team we thought would be tough. They had a lot of guys. I was looking at their stats too last week, and they were tops in a lot of categories. The Ravens. So I thought, okay, this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Who knows if the rain was our friend more than not? Actually, who knows what that
it's
game
really
might
weird.
Have been?
Yeah, really weird. I don't know if you guys get this sense, but I don't know why it is that it feels like when on days like that. The rain and the conditions negatively impact the Seahawks more than it does their opponent. I've felt this way for years. I'm not sure why. You would think that, hey, This is what we want, right? We want the rain. We want the gray. We want the guys coming from across the country to have to deal with this. We deal with this every day. But it doesn't seem to work out that way, and I'm not sure why exactly. Russell Wilson, for an example. I don't have the numbers in front of me. There's probably somebody who could do a statistical research on this. I don't think he plays well. I think his fall off in those types on those types of days are more than the opposing team's.
Why do you think they were having? I mean, he threw the ball a lot more than he usually does.
Because the Ravens came into the game as the top blitzing team in the NFL. They sent five or more after the quarterback more than any other team in the NFL, and there was a belief that when you do that, you play man-to-man, and there are plays to be made down the field. They clearly had a different offensive game plan. Normally, the Seahawks come into a game, and they're handing the ball off to start the game. It's Carson, and then slowly but surely, Wilson kind of gets into the game. You could see that yesterday. They came into the game thinking, we're throwing the ball. It was different for them, and it didn't work out. Well, it didn't really work out for them.
Yeah. Well, it's a
5-2.
5-2 is good. I'll take 5-2.
If they have offered you 5-2 before the season started, you would have taken 5-2.
Yeah, and actually, if you told us that we'd lose to the Saints and lose to the Ravens, as good as those teams are.
Right, look how good the Saints have been with Bridgewater.
I don't think they've lost a game.
4-0?
Something like that.
He's undefeated. Yeah.
I don't think the Ravens are that good. I mean, I think we're making a lot out of the Ravens. I don't think the Ravens ultimately will be anywhere. I don't think they'll go anywhere.
But their division's not good.
They
might win that division, but it's because it's not that good.
They probably will win that division because the Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati are not having it. So they'll probably win that division. I think Lamar Jackson translates against these NFC teams that don't see. Put him back into the AFC against teams that see him year to year and are a little bit more used to that situation. Yeah, they may win the division. I don't trust the Baltimore Ravens. I don't trust their defense. I don't think they're going for
it. What about the Niners? Can we trust them?
Yeah, I think you can.
Gosh, I want to believe they're going to have a drop-off in the second half allow us to catch them.
Please.
I mean, the first game,
quarterback has to get injured again, last year. I think for that to happen.
Well, we know he's good. The first game is going to be key.
November 11th, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's going to be key. If we can be competitive with those guys, then
beat them.
Well, beat them, obviously. Yeah, we have to. If we don't beat them, then we have no hope of winning the division. But if we can beat them and see that they're not as great, at least as we think they are, then we have a chance to go and beat them again.
Yeah.
Which is one around Christmas time, I think.
That's the last game of the season.
It is the last game.
Last game of the season here against the 49ers, I believe. I mean, it's still early. They're 6-0. They've got 10 more games to go. The Seahawks are 5-2. They haven't had their bye yet. San Francisco's had their bye. There's still some time. There's still some time, and as you point out, there's two games that you can play against them and then win the tiebreaker. If you could somehow win those two games, you would then have the tiebreaker against them.
Destiny's still in our hands.
They look really good to me.
Somebody's got to beat them.
The 49ers look really good to me.
Have they played the Ravens yet? Because they have to.
They have not played the Ravens yet. The only real good victory they have is they went to the Rams last week.
Yeah.
They went to Los Angeles and beat the Rams on their home field. That was a really good win on the road.
Yeah.
That was a good win.
A text wants to know what are our thoughts on Earl Thomas waving Russell Wilson's flag in the air. Waving his jersey in the air like a flag.
I don't know what you're talking about.
After he traded jerseys, he was leaving the stadium like doing like a rally.
Oh, like a rally.
Russell Wilson's jersey.
Yeah.
That's okay. Earl being Earl. I heard you guys talking about the whole exchange of jerseys things.
I'm not a big fan of that.
No?
No.
I thought it was funny that they exchanged jerseys, and Russell wrote like a novel as an autograph for Earl Thomas. And Earl's jersey, I don't think I had an autograph on it at all. So it's like, I thought that was kind of funny that Russ put in the time to write a nice note. And Earl's like, here's my jersey.
You've touched on something that we back in the radio days talked about a lot.
And we're talking to Mitch Levy, by the way. Don't forget his podcast, Mitch Unfiltered, drops. MitchUnfiltered.com. New one today. Number 62.
I don't know. I heard you guys talking about it, and there's a whole camaraderie thing in 2019. These guys are buddies, and you want to believe that they hate each other. They're gladiators, and I think there's a different part to this. Forget all that, because I'm okay with all that. These guys are trying to, you know, knock each other's heads off. I have no problem with them being buddies off the field. I mean, it's a pretty violent sport, and the game is over, and whatever. I think there's more. It's more for me. It's always been more about, you know, you're sitting in your family room. You've invested 3 hours in a game. You're rooting this team on, and then they lose, let's say, a close game, a heartbreaking game. And how are you feeling? Are you feeling as a fan sitting
in
your
family? I was exhausted after that game.
Well, not even yesterday, because yesterday was like, it just seemed like, okay, they're not winning this game. I'm talking about after a close game, a tough loss. You're watching your favorite team. You've just 3 hours you're watching them. It's now 1 minute after the game. It's now 30 seconds after the game. How are you feeling as a Seahawks fan?
Oh, I'm pissed. After
you're pissed. You're angry, right? It's going to take a little bit of time. I think for me, watching these guys look like they're over it a minute after the game ends. When you're sitting pissed, you're like, whoa. And we used to talk about this so much. People used to tell us to stop during the Mike Holmgren era. You remember the Mike Holmgren era, the 2005, 4, 3 teams that were quarterbacked by Matt Hasselbeck, and the star running back was who?
Sean Alexander.
And You couldn't get two more different personalities after a loss. It used to just drive me crazy. It's not that they're buddies. That's not the issue. The issue was that Sean Alexander, God love him, MVP Sean Alexander. I think he scored 30-something touchdowns 1 year for the Seattle Seahawks. The year they won the Super Bowl. There was nobody running. God, if they lost a game, they could lose an excruciating, tough game. And 10 seconds after the final horn sounds, he's at midfield laughing, you know, the gap in his tooth, the gap, laughing and carrying on with the, just as if like he was over it before it even ended. And you're on the couch going, I'm pissed. At the same time, Matt Hasselbeck, you could see when the tradition was you have to go as a quarterback, you had to go across the field, shake the other quarterback's hand, shake the other coach's hand, and then go into the locker room. You could just see the steam coming out of his ears. He represented what I was. He felt the way. You could tell he didn't want any part. Yeah, I'll shake your hand, but let me get the hell out of here. I'm pissed. I'm pissed off. And that's the way I felt as a fan, so that resonated with me. That's the way I wanted the players to feel after they lost a game. And then there were but a lot of them like Sean, and Sean wasn't the only one. Daryl Jackson, I don't know if you remember Daryl Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
These guys would be like jovial. You could have just lost on it. You could have just been eliminated from the playoffs. You could have just been your season could have ended on a kick, on a missed kick, and these guys are laughing and carrying on. And I'm like, How are they able to do that? Because I'm pissed. Pissed right now. Can't that
never
happen?
Like that either.
Can't that happen? You know,
an
hour after. Yeah, like yesterday with Russell Wilson and Earl Thomas.
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
Can that happen?
So you guys have that old school thought.
Underneath the bowel in the bowels of the stadium. I don't need to see that like 10 seconds after the game.
I guess I'm from the other side. I see when it happens, it gives me a little bit of levity in the whole thing. I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, why am I getting so worked up over this? I'm pissed when the Seahawks lose. But then when I see something like that, I'm like, yeah, why am I getting so angry about a sport? Like, I should just be entertained by it. Of course, it's hard to let that go. But when I see the players just kind of praying together or doing whatever they do after the game, I'm like, yeah, why am I letting this dictate how my day goes?
I just want them to be they should need a cooling off period. Not 10 seconds after the game.
It may be generational because Steve is a little younger than you and I.
People around my age that get just as pissed as you guys.
So it's still happening.
I think it's just the Northwest and the weed that's really good. So
okay,
it makes you chill.
Could be it. I don't know. That could be it.
I don't know.
I got a lot of viewpoints and people think I'm crazy about. I don't like it. It's like, you know, wait, when in my day when I was
see,
watching.
I don't want to be that guy, but yeah, I just want the players to be frustrated and a little angry like I am after a loss. That's all. And look,
this is the last one.
We could talk about this till we're blue in the face on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson will never be that guy. He is just genuinely not that guy. I mean, when they get eliminated from I can remember the playoff game against the Falcons when his first playoff game, where they lost just a heartbreaker. The guy kicked the field goal. It was a great game. They lost a heartbreaker. And within 10 seconds after the final gun, he was like, oh, this is going to be good. This is just the beginning, guys. And he was smiling. He was like, he knew. Like, the next year they went to the Super Bowl and won it.
Yep.
But he was like over it. He was over. That's just his personality, and we got to accept that's not my personality.
Well, I think Pete Carroll explained why he's like that after games.
Russ is getting banged. You know, he's a stud about that.
Okay. Hey, Pete Carroll said it, Mitch. What do you want us to do? You know, if the coach is saying, you know, that this is what he needs.
All right, let's visit after a win next week. How about
all right,
that?
Well, listen, we better
Matt
get
Ryan
a win
might
next
not
week.
Even play.
Okay,
Matt
well,
Ryan left the building in a walking boot. The quarterback of the Falcons.
Yeah, they probably should give him some time off. It's not like they're
one
going
and
anywhere.
Six or
yeah,
one.
Where
and
are
seven,
they going?
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, the Seahawks have done well with backup quarterbacks taking over for injured quarterbacks.
I think they'll be all right.
Okay,
yeah, it should be okay.
And we should, yeah, if we're not talking about a W next Monday,
we're real worried.
Yeah, then it's like
6-2 when we visit. Next.
Yeah, 6-2. 6-2 halfway point of the season. Nothing wrong with
12-4, right?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. Don't forget number 62, baby.
Jim Langer. You don't remember Jim Langer.
Oh, I don't. No, I don't.
Center of the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Oh, that's the reason why I don't remember him. Yeah.
Come on, BJ. Duh.
Is he on the podcast?
Yeah, we named it after him.
Oh, you named
I'm
it?
I'm an all-time Dolphins fan.
Oh, and what happened? Is that his number 62?
He was number 62.
Oh,
what
there
happened
we go.
With the 72 Dolphins? You know what happened with it? Even you should know.
Well, Dan
Mixing.
Marino was involved.
No, he
not,
wasn't.
I mean, was
Dan Marino?
Not Dan Marino.
Come on, he was not even. What happened in 1972?
Is that the 15-0 season?
That would be 17-0. But thanks for cheating us.
Who was the QB? Who am I trying to?
How
think
about
of?
Bob Greasy and Earl Morrow?
That's it. Thank you.
They did it with a backup quarterback.
Yeah,
the only undefeated team in the history of professional sports, the Miami Dolphins, 1972.
And where'd they go from there?
They won the Super Bowl.
Oh, good for you.
What do you want them to do?
Oh.
They won every game.
What did they do? What did they accomplish?
14-7 over the Redskins. What do you want them to do?
I don't think I was caring about football at that
Don
time.
Don Shula.
How old
they
was? I didn't want to tell you how old they was.
I was five. I was only five.
Oh, you were five and you remember that? Really?
Kind of sure.
Was 36.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Wow. You were five. God, I guess I am a lot older than you. Never mind. You and Steve are in the same demo. God. Jeez. I had no idea it was that old.
Thank you, boys.
Don't forget, MitchUnfiltered.com. That's where you get it. Get it where you can get any podcast, including MitchUnfiltered.com. Yep. New episode 62, named after...
Jim Langer.
Jim Langer. Thank you.
Langer.
You brought her. No, you. Never mind. Hey, you know, the new
Mary
Terminator...
Zonka.
I saw the commercial for the new Terminator movie. It looks pretty awesome. Also, how about this? Apparently, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a drapery salesman in this movie. Well, you'll hear all about this. Arnold's going to be talking to you at 7:47 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's another listener question. How do I rebuild my credit after filing bankruptcy?
You rebuild it, you know, one creditor at a time by making your payments on time to on your rent or your mortgage, by continuing to make car payments on a car that you keep during your case. You can also, as I said, you can almost always get a credit card almost immediately after filing bankruptcy. Sometimes it's a secured card, and it'll almost always have a really high interest rate on it, but you can get a small balance credit card and, you know, charge a tank of gas or a dinner once a month on that and make the payment, pay it off every month, and that'll help you build a credit history one creditor at a time and will help you rebuild your credit over time.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.